What's the connection between physical and mental health? Find out on today's Health Connection segment.
And join us as we talk about the sea of glass. Wake up with hope today.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Well, I have an interesting fact to share with you today.
Oh, really? Well, what's that?
Nothing.
Huh? Nothing?
Yep, nothing.
Come on, tell me about it. What do you mean nothing?
Today is National Nothing Day.
I have never heard of that.
This interesting day has actually been celebrated since the year 1973.
Wow.
My entire lifetime.
I had no idea, did you?
No. Had no idea. Nothing at all. Well, some funny ways people celebrate this day is by incorporating the word nothing into every sentence. This is great. Well, seeing how long you can actually go doing nothing. And then at the end saying nothing all day.
Saying nothing all day. That'd be hard for me, I think, don't you think?
That's great.
Well, it sounds like a real funny day to celebrate, that's for sure. But you know, talking about doing nothing, Jesus actually says in John 15, verse 5, that without him, we can do nothing.
Nothing.
He doesn't mean we can't move or other obvious things. Instead, the context of this passage is that without Jesus, we cannot bear fruit. We cannot have eternal life and experience the abundant life that he can give us here on earth.
That's true. So when we think of celebrating Nothing Day, let's remember that with Jesus, we can bear fruit and be a consistent blessing to the world. But without him, we can do, you got it,
nothing.
So now let's begin by taking a look back on what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, the 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution prohibiting the manufacture, sale, or transportation of intoxicating liquors for beverage purposes was ratified by the requisite number of states. I'm sure those who supported this initiative were celebrating when the prohibition was finally ratified. It was made official. Prior to this, all they had was hope that it would be implemented nationwide. But the ratification made all the difference. It reminds me of an important concept in our own life.
When we come to Jesus, we come with hope and aspirations of everything we can be in him. You know, sometimes along the way, we lose our excitement and we fall into this round of doing and going through the motions with no real meaning. Our commitment to Jesus needs to be ratified and sealed. And our first love needs to be revived and renewed. When we determine once and for all to follow him with everything we have, we can celebrate as we consistently experience a meaningful life in Jesus. So today, friends, make your commitment to Jesus officially official.
I like it.
Yeah. You know, let's resolve to follow him and give him all, give him your all every single day, and he will surely help you.
Amen. This morning, Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel is back on the Health Connection as we discusses the connection between physical and mental health. Doctor?
Hi, I'm Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel, and I'm really pleased to be here with you because we want to make a health connection with you. I have a little confession to make. You know, I don't naturally relish exercise. Not like some people. For instance, my wife, Anita, she loves to exercise. If she doesn't exercise, she's in trouble. But I do it, not just to accompany her, but because it's good for me in many ways. And it feels great when you have achieved your goal, and even it feels great along the journey. Now, my experience as a young doctor helped me to consolidate this idea that it's good for me. A patient I had, an elderly man, he was in his, well, I say elderly, he was in his early 70s, and he was very sick. He had multiple diseases, and he was taking about 12 medications. And he said to me, "Doc, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Now, I listened to him and I laughed. Was it just one patient who had this novel statement? Well, over the years, patient after patient have repeated the same thing, in different words, repeated, and I observed it myself. You know, your body should be treated as an investment, not as a liability. It is the best tool that you have, and mine is the best tool that I have for successfully creating a happy life, not just for you or for me, but also for our families. With a healthy body, you can do a lot more, and you will enjoy life better, more to the full. You see, physical factors can either cause or relieve health issues. Or you may want to put it as this way. What you fuel, lubricate, and control the temperature of are important for your body's function. So the fuel, that's food. What you lubricate and what you hydrate, this has to do with water and the things that you drink, the liquids in your life. When you fuel up and when you let the system take a break, these are also important. So the timing of your eating and drinking also makes a difference. Then, of course, there's movement. We are built to move. Life is better when you wear it out than when you rust it out from inactivity. And it's just like combustion. Clean air helps the system work better. So being outdoors, getting clean, fresh air right after the rain at the seashore. And also if you're indoors, to be able to clean up the indoor air using plants and other things to keep the air clean and fresh, and getting the sunshine, whether you're outdoors or indoors, these help to increase the quality of the air and also your overall health. And then, of course, there's rest, sleep, and recharging. Yes, rest and sleep help to recharge the person, help to recharge the brain, and also help to recharge the vital organs, producing hygiene for those things. It helps them to be able to do the job better. So rest is important, and sleep, very important. And then we have recreation. Now, recreation should be spelled R-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N, not W-R-E-A-K. Sometimes we do so much that we wreck the creation that God has made. But what's amazing is that improving our physical health may also improve our mental health. You see, living healthy improves the function of the frontal lobes, these two parts of the brain right behind the forehead. This is where we reason. This is where we make decisions. This is where we understand, and this is where we have deep learning. Our frontal lobes are even the places where we house our moral compass. So you do something for your physical health, and that's good. And that improves your clarity of reasoning and decision-making. And you are also more inclined to invest in more healthy behaviors and healthier living. So isn't that an exciting improvement spiral? You choose one, and you get benefits in the others. You choose healthfully for your body, and you reap benefits in both body and mind. What a marvelous creation we have.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. Also, look for us on YouTube and keep up with us there.
We have another inspiring Revelation of Hope episode when we return. Stay with us. We live in a broken world that is plagued with pain and saturated with sorrow. Every day we're bombarded with news that fills us with unbearable rage and unspeakable sadness. There are so many things that are wrong with our world and wrong in our own hearts. and many look to politicians, priests, and pastors for solutions.
But the answer to the chaos is not found in any man. Where is it found? Well, let's examine the sea of glass in this Revelation of Hope episode to find the answer.
We're here at the west end of the beautiful island of Bermuda, and right past this plot of land called Convict Cemetery is a very unique beach. Let's go check it out. We're here at the site of an old naval dump, where we find the remnants of an old glass factory. Here you'll find hundreds of thousands of pieces of sea glass. One of my favorite hobbies is collecting sea glass. Now, I'm not gonna collect any here today, but sometimes back at home in Hawaii, when the waves are too small to surf or the water is too murky to go scuba diving, you'll find me on my hands and knees on the beach searching for sea glass. Now, I know this may sound strange, but allow me to share with you why I enjoy it so much. You see, to the common eye, these small pieces of broken glass are considered as trash, not worth paying any attention to. But for a melancholy like me, I see it as beautiful treasure. Some are as big as rocks, others are as tiny as small grains of sand. The most common colors are brown, green, and milky white. Sometimes if you're lucky, you'll come across the rare cobalt blues, the ruby reds, or the royal purples. And if you ever find an orange one, consider yourself extremely blessed. Only 1 out of 10,000 pieces of collected sea glass is orange. Those are extremely rare. Each piece has a story. It came from somewhere, and it was once used for something useful and practical. But have you ever thought about where sea glass comes from? Well, let me tell you. It comes from glass bottles that were discarded decades ago into the ocean. It is then broken to pieces by the pounding surf and the clashing waves. It is then polished by the constant friction of the sand and surrounding elements. All the sharp, rough edges are worn down into a smooth, translucent treasure. And the longer it stays in the churning sea, the more beautiful it becomes. But often trampled underfoot, most people don't pay any attention to sea glass. For most people, sea glass is too small to notice. Most don't attach any value to what I would consider translucent treasures. You see, the reason why I find sea glass so captivating is because to me, it is a reflection of God's amazing grace. These broken pieces of glass remind me of how God can bring beauty out of brokenness, how God can take something that has been destroyed and discarded. He can polish it down to an attractive treasure. Now, if you're anything like me, you know that you've made mistakes in life. Perhaps you've been used and abused and discarded by others as worthless. And just like freshly broken glass, piercing the tender foot of an unsuspecting bypasser, perhaps in your brokenness, you've cut others with your words and actions. Maybe a sharp word or a rough response has cut someone close to you. And because of that, there are hurtful wounds in your relationships that have yet to be healed. We've all done things in our brokenness that we regret, things we wish we could go back and change. You know, they say that hurt people hurt people. And that's the truth about human nature. Even the best of us have made mistakes. We've all done things that have only perpetuated more brokenness and pain in our world. But the good news is this: God can bring beauty from the brokenness. Our loving Lord desires to polish us in the sea of His love and in the ocean of His grace. And by the clashing waves of trials, He desires to smooth out all our rough edges. Though we are broken, we are still His special treasure. And like the tiny specks of sea glass in the sand, we're not too small for Him to notice. He sees our brokenness, and He takes special interest in our pain. And our pain has pierced His infinite heart with a divine sorrow. You see, God does not cause our pain, but nor does God waste our pain. Many times, God uses our brokenness to bless others, for He is the God that can bring beauty from the brokenness. Broken lives, broken hearts, broken dreams, broken bodies, and broken promises, all of these can still produce eternal blessings. The Bible says that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and He saves such that have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Someone once said that sometimes God redeems your story by surrounding you with people who need to hear your past so that it doesn't become their future. God can use our past problems to prevent future pain. From the mess of brokenness, God can bring a message of blessing. From earthly trials, God can bring heavenly triumph. From excruciating pain, God can bring eternal peace. And from a brutal test, God can bring a beautiful testimony. Now, I'm not speaking from mere theory. I'm speaking from personal experience. For this is exactly what Jesus did for me. I was a discarded, broken vessel. Before the Lord found me, I was wasting my mind on drugs. I grew up in a broken home, and I went to a high school with people who had a lot of rough edges. I was a broken glass in the midst of a pile of broken glass. But while many saw me as a problem child, God saw potential. And while some would see me as trash, God saw me as treasure. And so I was immersed in the sea of His love, baptized in the ocean of His grace. And to say the least, because of Jesus, my life has never been the same. And what God did for me, He surely can do for you. When Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, He was being assaulted by our sins, crushed by our condemnation, battered by our guilt and our shame. His body was bruised and His heart was broken. And yet He was willing to take all of our abuse in order to save us. We were worth it to Him. And through His brokenness, we can be blessed. So today I invite you to give to God the broken glass of your life. Give to Him your bleeding heart, your shattered dreams, your battered body, and your broken promises. Your situation, whatever it may be, is not beyond salvageable. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. It's not too late and you've not gone too far. Today I invite you to allow the Lord to polish you, refine you, and use you to reflect His beauty in this world of brokenness.
Don't go anywhere, friends. When we return, our friends at Voice of Prophecy will join us for a devotional thought. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We hope you are feeling the love and joy of Jesus this Monday morning. It's now time for our morning devotional.
Yes, our friends at Voice of Prophecy are here with us to share it with us.
Are you feeling tired today? Have the struggles and even the victories of life worn you down? Well, you might need a day off and a change of scenery to recharge your batteries. Or it could be something deeper. You might be suffering from burnout. Burnout is a fairly new word. The term became widely used in the late 1970s. It was first associated with high achievers in the workplace. Well, nowadays we recognize that burnout can occur in our work and our volunteer activities. The signs of burnout, well, they're different for each of us, but here are some common ones. Feeling tired and unenthusiastic about your work or volunteering. Feeling pessimistic or cynical about work that used to excite you. And dreading your commitments. These are all signs. And there can be physical symptoms of burnout too, like headaches, difficulty sleeping, and exhaustion. Now, the word burnout might be relatively new, but the symptoms and struggles have been around for a very long time. In fact, Elijah the prophet experienced burnout after his victory at Mount Carmel. And I think we can learn something from his experience. You see, God stepped in and He helped Elijah. Now, after Elijah's showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he faced his nemesis, Jezebel. King Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, about Elijah's victory at Mount Carmel. And to say that she was not amused, that's a massive understatement. Let's read about it from Scripture. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he, Elijah, saw that, he arose and ran for his life and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Elijah ran from Jezebel, and escaping with his life, he collapsed, exhausted, and burnt out. He prayed to God that his life could be over. "It's enough," he said. Elijah had dedicated his life to working for God, and perhaps you're burnt out from a life of service too. Teachers, medical professionals, pastors, all are vulnerable to burnout. And Elijah was past exhaustion. He collapsed in despair, asking God to let his life end. He was desperate. And how God responded, it gives us some helpful direction about what we need when we're burnt out and desperate. 1 Kings chapter 19 continues. "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.'" Did you catch those words? The journey is too great for you. God didn't expect Elijah to be strong enough to keep running. Before Elijah could continue on the journey, he needed to restore his strength. And God sent an angel to give Elijah food and water and told him to rest. Elijah needed to take care of his physical needs before he could keep going. And it wasn't a quick fix. He rested until he was restored. Recovering from burnout begins when we recognize the journey is too great for us. We can't accomplish anything without God walking by our side. And to follow him on any journey, we have to intentionally carve out the time for our own health. I haven't always done this well, and so I'm sharing this today to remind myself too. You know, taking time for our own needs, it can feel selfish, particularly when we're called to work in fields where we serve others. But God doesn't ask us to sacrifice our own well-being in order to follow him. Scheduling time to exercise and prepare healthy meals, that's not selfish. And neither is taking time for fellowship with friends and with family. Building community is vital to our well-being. That's a lesson that we all, I think, appreciate a little more after the isolation of recent years. You know, God designed us to be in community with one another. So, how did Elijah feel after he ate, drank water, and rested? He felt better. In fact, the angel's instructions worked to revitalize him so well that he was sustained for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a frame of time that's significant in Scripture. And 1 Kings 19 continues like this. "He went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." Elijah felt better, but his burnout wasn't cured completely. After resting and journeying to Horeb, God found Elijah alone in a cave. And God spoke to Elijah, and again, that despondency rose to the surface. Elijah said to God, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Elijah felt alone. His exhaustion nearly overwhelmed him. And solving our burnout isn't likely a quick fix. Taking care of our physical needs and preventing exhaustion in the future, that's just one part of a complex puzzle. But it's a vital starting point for those of us struggling with a journey in life that feels too great for us. The road to feeling whole will involve setbacks, just like it did for Elijah. And God had another plan for Elijah to recover. Another piece of his healing was to listen and hear God's voice and let him lead. We'll talk about that the next time that I'm here with you. So, do you see the signs of burnout in your life? I encourage you to take God's advice. The first step is to rest and to care for your physical needs. And the results? They can be life-changing. Well, Hope Channel family, let's pray together this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us the example of Elijah in Scripture. Father, we so often feel as if we have to run full speed ahead in this journey of life. Lord, you encouraged Elijah and you helped him to restore his strength with simple remedies. Father, give us the willpower to rest and restore our physical strength in you as well. Amen. Well, simple remedies like sleep, water, and eating nourishing food, they might seem insignificant in the face of despondency and burnout, but these first steps are vital. Restoring our physical strength will give us the energy and the frame of mind to take the next steps. And so if you're struggling today, try these first steps. They worked for Elijah long ago, and they could make a world of difference for you too. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday with us.
What a blessing. Thank you so much.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us and watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program or share with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup. You know, nothing else matters.
That's right. When we wake up in the morning with Jesus, we can start the day right. And so we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be having our devotional thought. We'll have a special prayer session with our good friends from the Let's Pray team. Plus, Mary Lou Inks will bring us hope in song. Be sure to tune in. And if you've enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible study guides have helped so many people connect with Jesus in a very deep theological way. It just fills their hearts and minds with a knowledge of Scripture. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. It's found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10.
It says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. What a marvelous thought. Declare it, friends. Proclaim it. Jesus is Lord.
Amen. And you can't get better than that. Nothing beats that. Nothing is better.
Amen.
Nothing else matters.
That's right.
It's nothing day, honey.
So oh, that's right.
That's right. Nothing
good
else.
Good application of
yes,
the nothing.
Yes, yes. You know, we hope that you were blessed today and that your day will be filled with reminders of the love, joy, and peace found in Jesus. And remember that nothing else matters.
That's right.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, that today we've been filled. And so guard our hearts and keep us, Lord, from stumbling and keep our hearts full. May we be reminded of something we heard today that will just fill our hearts with love and joy and peace and above all, hope. Thank you for answering our prayers. May nothing come between us and your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.